Raise your hand, too, if you need a pen. Daniel, come here a sec. Raise your hand. Keep your hand up if you need a pen, and Daniel will come and take care of that. This sermon was going to be introduced by the children, basically, but instead they'll review it. Either way, it'll be fine. It's funny, but I make my living in technology, but technology still is one of the hardest things. So. It was a pretty tricky thing we were doing. You'll see it. You'll see most of it anyway. We're in Proverbs 31. It's a passage that a lot of women don't like. But it's not. You need more? Okay, thank you. But it's actually, should be the opposite. It's something that acknowledges women that are like this and also encourages men to marry them, to look for them and find them. This is from a mom talking to her son, King Lemuel. We don't know who King Lemuel was for sure. Some people say it was Solomon. We don't really know for sure. But anyway, it starts at verse 10. Let me read it. It may be a passage that you've heard. It's familiar, probably more so on Mother's Day, but also other times if you do a study. We're going to do a rapid-fire run through this, but I'm going to start with the last couple of verses. But verse 10 now, I'm going to read through it. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we just review this passage that you might just maybe make some new things known to us, but just reinforce what is true as opposed to what the world screams out about women. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Elisa? There's a PowerPoint somewhere. Do you know anything about that either? Okay. That was just going to make it easier for the kids. I don't know. You might. All right, let's just plug ahead. I don't have any way to write it down. So, adults, you might have to help for a little bit. You don't have my thumb drive, do you? Okay. All right. What I want to look at first before we get into the notes, so there's no writing it here, is I want you to draw your attention to chapter 31, verse 30, okay? This is one that the kids have memorized, so we worked on this Wednesday night. But charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. The King James said vain. That's what, it's just empty. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Okay? It contrasts the externals with the eternals, if that makes sense. It doesn't mean that if a woman is beautiful, she's sinful. It just means that those things are temporary. The other things are eternal. Okay, so charm, it's outward responses, outward actions, okay? Is it possible to be a very bad person and have a nice outward gesture? Help me out here. Of course it is, okay? It's easy to fake something, isn't it? Huh? Charm is what? Deceitful, okay? That's why it's amazing how the entire United States of America seems to think that you vote on somebody based upon 30-second advertisements. That's charm. Or, you know, whatever they can say in 30 seconds, that somehow you would believe that? You wouldn't investigate that person? Their track record? Their character? Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, the New King James says. Beauty doesn't stay, does it? It moves on. I've never been in the category of beautiful, okay? So I'm not saying that. But here's an example. One of my friends saw my wedding picture. And he said, Jane looks like Jane, but you don't look anything like you. And I thought, I think I looked like me, but I had changed a little bit over the years. Like, I don't know, close to 100 pounds of change. I was like a Weird Harold in Fat Albert. If you've ever been 80 pounds, you know, they used to use him to get the football out of the gutters kind of guy. That was me. Something changed, okay? Our physical nature, whatever it is on the outside, and people are pursuing that with what these days to try and keep that? Plastic surgery, right? They'll pay big bucks to stretch things back out again, you know, to make things look better. Guys and gals both, by the way. But they, you know, or they'll add muscle, fake muscles where they can't seem to build muscle or whatever, so that people can see that and people will be amazed at them. Okay? That's passing. The external is either deceitful or it doesn't last. Okay? But the Bible says this, the focus of a godly woman is a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. God will never, listen, God will never reward someone saying, boy, you really snowballed them, didn't you? You really went over on them. You made them buy everything you said, even though you were lying. Here's a reward for you. Now, there might be sales teams that say, boy, you really snookered them. You really got that. But God will never reward them. A person for that. And God will never reward someone to say, you were so beautiful. Here's a reward. Your outward beauty was just fantastic. And everybody gawked at you. Here you go. Enter into my kingdom with the reward. Let me tell you, the prom queens are going to be disappointed. The cheerleaders are going to be disappointed. The weightlifters are going to be those, you know, that flex. I won't try to flex. I'll probably hurt myself, but they'll be disappointed because everyone in this life looks at the externals and says, "Wow, look at that." And God says, "I don't see anything. I don't see anything." A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, why do I start there? Because the reason I start there is because I believe God just described a woman who fears the Lord. See, a lot of times we separate this verse and say, well, you know, what does she do at church? I think that's the wrong focus. I'm not saying that women shouldn't serve their local assembly. I believe that. But he describes a woman from his vantage point that fears the Lord, and this is what she looks like. Okay? So Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Now look at your notes here. Still no PowerPoint, but we will keep going here, okay? The question starts out here, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. Kids, the first word there is find. She is difficult to find. F-I-N-D. She is difficult to find. Who can find a virtuous woman? By the way, Paul stated that about Timothy in the New Testament too. So ladies, whatever they say about ladies here as far as descriptions and stuff, there's plenty of passages that deal with men as well. Okay? But he said, I have no one like-minded that will care for your state like Timothy. Okay? It's hard to find a good man, Paul says. Because he, you know, and he mentions somebody, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Okay? So it's hard to find a good man that walks with God, that's consistent, that does right. Here, who can find a virtuous woman? A woman of valor, literally. A noble woman. Not in a regal sense, like a princess, but who that does right and walks rightly. Who can find a virtuous woman? She is difficult to find. Wow, that's a statement to say that very few women really care about what God says. Okay? They really don't care. Lynn, I need the PowerPoint right now. That's where I'm at, the urgent point here. Okay? Point number two, she is difficult to value. V-A-L-U-E, kids. V-A-L-U-E. She's difficult to value. And to say it in a longer way, it's difficult to place a value on her because her worth is far above rubies. Okay? It's like you can't really, like the commercials, you know, you see the, a trip with your son, you know, $20 to the ball game, dude, you know, something else, you know, a signed a baseball card, you know. And then the last thing is it's priceless. You can't put a price on her. She is difficult to value. For her worth is far above rubies. It's hard to find a woman like that. Not because every woman cannot be that way, but most choose not to. That's the implication. By the way, you see that throughout Scripture for both men and women. She's difficult to find. She's difficult to value. Now, it starts out here with her relationship to her husband. And again, it says, who can find a virtuous wife, the word can be woman as well, but the idea here is it's a married woman. Who can find a virtuous woman, a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? Verse 11, now, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Her relationship to her husband, I have 4 points for this. Number one, she creates trust in her husband. A woman who fears the Lord creates trust in her husband. In other words, as she does things, her husband is able to trust her. Her husband is able to not worry about what her choices are. She creates trust in her husband. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Oh, good, yeah. Oh, I have the remote. Stand back. Okay. Now I just have to remember how to use the remote. There we go. Okay. So she's difficult to find. Kids, check your Check your words here. You see that up here? Difficult to find. Then she's difficult to value. Okay? So far, so good. Now, her relationship to her husband. Number one, she creates trust in her husband. Her actions lead her husband to trust her because she's reliable. She's making choices that benefit him, you'll see, and benefit them. Because if he's benefited, she ultimately is as well. So she creates trust in her husband. You guys seen that, all right, kids? Okay, number two. She works to retain what her husband works for. She works to retain. It's the kids, the word retain means to keep. Okay? You've heard, you've probably seen bumper stickers or something. My wife and I have a 50-50 agreement. I earn it, she spends it kind of idea. All right? But the idea here is, and we'll bring this up again as we get farther on down, is that the goal isn't to see how much you can spend. The goal is to see how proper you can be in your spending, even frugal or efficient, okay? By the way, this obviously has implications with regard to the roles of men and women, okay? You'll see this here more so. That it's looking at primarily a one-income family that's driven by the husband. We might get into that a little more. But so he will have no lack of gain. How does that work? Well, if she keeps spending what he is earning in a wrong way, you have to spend money, right? But in a wrong way, in an unreasonable, unwise way, then he can't build stability into their lives. Okay? I don't know about you, but finances are a tough thing, aren't they? It's you don't have to have a lot of money to be stable, but you have to use the money that you have very wisely, and you have to be very careful. And that's the key. You're not buying things that you cannot afford, and you're not buying things frivolously. Okay, so he will have no lack of gain. There's not leaks in the bucket, so to speak. Number three. By the way, these all kind of work into themselves. She creates trust in her husband. She works to retain what her husband works for. Number three, she seeks her husband's good. Her intent is to not benefit herself in a selfish way, but to benefit her husband. She seeks, how does it say it here? She does him good and not evil. All right? The book of Proverbs has things to say about a wife. You know, you find a good wife, you find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. But if you find a bad wife, it's better to, Solomon says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than to end up marrying a wife that's not good and live in a castle. Okay, it's better to be poor and happy than to be rich and unhappy with a wife that is not one who fears the Lord. So she does him good and not evil. That's her intent. The Bible brings out, even in the very book of Genesis, that the beginning, that God created the woman for the man. That's not sexist. That's design. They work together as a unit, as a one, but the man is encouraged and helped. The woman is a what kind of meat? A helpmeet for the man. Okay? God didn't put the woman in a different garden and have them meet, you know, 3 days a week for tea. Adam had the garden. He was given the responsibility to keep the garden. And Eve was brought to the man. Okay? Each had different functions. Neither are more valuable or less valuable. That's like saying, what's more important, you know, the left tire or the right tire on your car? And you say, well, if either is gone, we're in a world of hurt. And that's exactly right. The God-designed family has a man doing men things and a woman doing woman things, and that works. Number three, she seeks her husband's good. She does him good and not evil. So her purpose is to assist her husband. And number four, she commits herself to Him for life. Now, I don't think I'm pulling this out. It says she does Him evil or good and not evil all the days of her life. You see the commitment built in here? It's not until she gets fed up with the dude. We won't ask for personal testimonies, ladies. Maybe at another time. Okay? She does Him good and not evil all the days of her life. That is her intent. That is her focus. That is her commitment all of her life. There is an intent to help Him for all of her life. That's a commitment. She commits herself to Him for life. And by the way, the opposite is to be true also, right? They're joined together as one unit before God. So the question tells us she's difficult to find and difficult to value. Her relationship to her husband, she creates trust in her husband by retaining what her husband works for, by seeking her husband's good, by committing herself for life to him. Okay? Now her actions. All right, we're down to her actions here. The Bible says she, in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Now this one you have to chew on for a minute. Remember she said she, so he will not have lack of gain. Okay? A lot of people miss this, I think. She seeks wool and flax. What are those? Flax may be harder for us. I'm no farm boy, and I don't know if we raise flax. Maybe we do. But what's wool? Yeah, it's raw materials, farm boy over here. It's a raw material. What can you do? What does wool do for you? Nothing, right? You have to get it and do something with the wool, then it does something for you. Does that make sense? She's not going out and buying instant that's more expensive. She's buying the raw materials and doing what with it? Yeah, she's making things. Now, today, you could probably go to Walmart and buy a shirt or slacks or skirt or whatever for way less time, effort, and energy than you can, you know, having a sheep out in your backyard and, or, you know, whatever. But the idea is still there. I think the principle is still there that she chooses the cheaper path. She is frugal. It's easy to spend money. Anyone here disagree with that? I like to spend money like anybody, and it's easy to do it, especially at the gas pump. You're pretty much done by then, aren't you? Okay, that's it. But it's easy to spend money. And it's easy to use up money. What's an expensive way to live with regards to eating? Eating out. Okay? You go to some places, any place, $5 or $6 burger. Okay? Even at Burger King now, if you get the meal kind of thing, I look up there and it's like, I don't make enough money to buy that. Okay? $5, $6. And it's like, you know how many burgers you can make for $5 or $6? Now it's getting more expensive. Everything's very expensive. I went into Hy-Vee yesterday for some odds and ends thing. I don't remember the last time I bought meat at Hy-Vee. Okay. But I used to work at a meat market years ago, and so I at least that's one perception I have is the meat prices. Okay? But you choose cheaper. Cheaper doesn't necessarily mean inferior. Wool is good. Flax they make linen out of. Clothing as well, okay? So I didn't know that. I had to look it up. But it's the raw material, so instead of going and buying someone else's work that would be more expensive, she does it herself. Okay? Does that take time? Yes. But she's investing her time rather than what? Wasting her time, right? So So she chooses the cheaper path. That's how she keeps her husband from failing to get gain. You know, she's plugging the back door, so to speak. Closing the back door. So that kind of sticks out when you understand what wool and flax are. They're raw materials. And she was going out, instead of buying someone else's linen and someone else's wool clothing, she was getting the raw materials and doing that. Now, as an example, and I'm not saying this is always what you should do or whatever, but our family does this. One thing we can say that we do. There are other things, but I'm saying this one we do. You know how much a loaf of bread is? It's like, what do they put in that that makes it so? It must be the bag. Because it's not the wheat. We buy these 50-pound bags of wheat. Actually, in Kelowna, that's where we get our wheat at. And we grind it. And we figure probably about 25 cents a loaf for whole wheat bread. So it's actually better bread. It's the bread you'd pay $4 for a loaf at Hy-Vee or whatever. And it costs us 25 cents a loaf. Now, does it take time to do that? Yes. But it converts little money into great benefit. That's the cheaper way. That's one of many, many different examples you can give. Okay? But that's a key one for us. And by the way, we love that homemade bread. Or when did we have the cinnamon rolls? Was that Friday night? So anyway, homemade cinnamon rolls. What happened to my input? I talked too long in the computer. It's still here. The computer acts like you do. I talked so long you just drone off to sleep. What is that? Sorry. Okay. She chooses the cheaper path. Does that make sense? The economical path, if that helps you. Okay, what's cheaper? And that's doable. Sometimes it's, you can buy the raw materials and actually be more expensive, but there might even be benefits to that as well, health-wise and all that. But it gives you an example. You make stuff out of raw materials for food rather than the pre-made stuff. It's a lot cheaper. It saves money. So you can live on less money, right? And it retains the wealth, so to speak. It spreads it so it lasts longer. Number two, she enjoys the added work. Now this is like, what? Is she some kind of sick person? No, the word here actually is enjoys. She willingly works with her hands. The idea is happily works with her hands. She doesn't look at, making bread or making things from scratch or whatever the case might be as a hassle. She looks at it as a joy. Okay? What makes the difference on that? How can one woman enjoy it and another woman not enjoy it doing the exact same thing? Yeah, perspective or attitude. Two excellent words. It's the attitude. It's how she looks at it. Some women say, well, this isn't an activity of value. No one notices. Right? Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Right? For some reason, we're driven, both men and women, but we're driven. We want to be recognized. We want to be acknowledged. And God says, yes, seek to be recognized by me. Okay? When we sit at home and we change the diapers or we wash the dishes or we do whatever it is, no one knows how much I work. It's like, well, when you're sick and your husband does it, he knows. Because he resigns after 6 hours or whatever. Okay? But everyone knows it. That's why people would much rather have someone else be the home person and they go out and work, right? If it was so easy, people would opt for the inside. Not the outside, okay? She enjoys her work. It was John Calvin. I don't know the exact quote right now. But his perspective, I believe, was a good perspective. The idea of even if a woman is washing dishes, three divine services held here daily is the idea at the sink. Everything you do, ladies and men, whether it's some big flashy thing or something like edging your sidewalk or changing your oil. God sees that as a service, as a ministry, as a means of worship to Him, and He recognizes that. It's your perspective, your attitude of how you carry that out that makes the difference. You can do it out of a heart of disgust and hatred and not wanting to enjoy your work, or you can be like the Ecclesiastes summary that says, oh, you know, God put us on the earth to work with our hands and do good while we're here. To enjoy each day. Instead of looking for Friday, no, enjoy your work every day. Same with the ladies, okay? She enjoys the added work. She enjoys being busy. The next one here, number three, under her actions, she seeks the efficient way. We talked about the cheaper way. Here's the efficient way. What's the efficient way? Okay? Now, the passage here is this, and a lot of people think of it one way, but the way I understand it, it's a little different. It says, she is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. By the way, she's not from the south. Nothing's burning. Afar. Never mind. Okay. It's like this. And I remember people, I was thinking of something in Georgia, so maybe that's where my brain was with the fire thing. But people would get in their car and drive 20 miles away to a little town, get something at the hardware store, and drive back. Oh, I need something else. Drive, 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 drive. And then get something else at the grocery store. Drive, 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 drive. You getting the point? What's wrong with that? It wastes your time. It wastes your money. She is like a merchant ship that goes running. By the time she gets home, the van is loaded because she did all of it in one trip. That's the idea. A lot of people say, well, she travels far to get the 5 cents off of the hot dogs at the... It's not really searching for the good deals. She's just doing all she needs to do all at once. Okay, it's the efficient way. Learning to do things. When you read through this, Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, you're like, how can a woman do the things she does? She is efficient. She figures out, you know what? I can do two things here. I can do this, and that will get, it'll fit in more, and I'll get more done faster. Okay? So that's the efficient way. She's like a merchant ship that brings stuff from afar. When it comes, the merchant ship is just loaded. She's done all of her work. Okay? In one fell swoop rather than 1,000 little trips. Okay? Which again, saves time, saves money, allows her to do other things that you'll see here. Number four, she practices planning and self-discipline. The Bible says here, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. I said, why do you have to get up so early for that? Well, remember, you didn't have cornflakes, right? You had corn or whatever that grain. You had to make whatever you ate that morning. So, and it took time. So she did whatever it took to make it work, so that she could feed her family and the food would be ready, okay? It's not getting up to get up's sake, okay? That's what it took so that the meals would be ready at the right time in the morning. It also says she provides food for her maidservants. It's like, aha, there you go, she had servants. Well, it's possible she did, but if she did, it didn't keep her from working, because everything she did, she's doing it herself. It's describing it as the maidservant is simply a young woman of marriageable age, so it could be her older daughters even. Okay, it's not the word daughter, but it doesn't necessarily mean that she's got a bunch of people that she paid servants kind of idea. Okay, and it doesn't keep her from working, but she plans. She practices planning and self-discipline. She knows what it takes to get the job done that day, and she does it. She plans it out, and then she performs her plan. She practices planning and self-discipline. Number five, she looks at and leverages the possibilities. Okay? She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Now, some commentaries just say, well, see, look, the woman's involved in buying and selling real estate. It's like, no, read it again. She's not a real estate agent. She bought a piece of property. Okay? It's no different than if you buy a box of cornflakes. It doesn't make you a corn farmer, okay? Or whatever the case might be. Or if you buy an automobile, it doesn't make you a car dealer. Okay, she does buy a plot of land. She's thinking, how can we make this work even better for our family? And notice, she never loses her home-centered focus. She's not working someplace else. She's working for her family, focused on her home-centered area. She's not stuck in her home. She's not chained to the stove, as some people falsely accuse the Proverbs 31 woman of. She's very free to move about, kind of idea. She goes out and says, you know what? We can do better than what we are with a little more effort on my part. We'll buy this plot of land and I'll plant it. Okay? Notice here what it says. She considers a field and buys it from her, the word is literally fruits. From her fruits, she plants a vineyard. It sounds like one of two things. She's either got a garden going here, and she grows enough so that she can turn around and convert some of that land into a vineyard, or, as you'll find out in a little bit, she's making some other pieces of clothing on the side and selling them and buying it so that she can make that land do something. What is it going to do? What does she plant there? By the way, it says she plants it, not her maidservant, so think deeply about that, okay? But what does she do with it? She plants a vineyard. What does a vineyard do? It might even mean that she plants other things and a vineyard. She considers a field and buys it and plants with the profits or fruits of maybe her what she plants there. She's able to upgrade to part of it to a vineyard. What's a vineyard? It's a long-term garden that produces ongoing produce, okay, and an ongoing produce. So it assists the family in what? Yeah, it helps provide. What is she doing? Has she lost her focus, home-centered focus? No. What does a plot let you do? When do you have to be out and weed the garden? Whenever you get there, right? It doesn't dictate to you. You dictate to it. It's a different kind of process here. So her endeavors expand her possibilities. She considers the possibilities. But it doesn't dictate her actions. Okay? So she retains her flexibility. Number six. I got a lot to cover here. So we're going to just go quickly here. She postures herself for accomplishment. I don't really know how else to say it. Postures means she prepares herself for accomplishment. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. The only thing I can say about this is, because no commentary really made it any clearer, is that she gets ready to work. She sets herself up to accomplish things rather than making excuses why she can't. Or tying up her life with things that piddle away her time, effort, and energy. Okay, so she postures herself for accomplishment. She sets herself up to get much done. Number seven, she expends the extra effort. Okay, there's a lot of misspent time, effort, and energy on the part of men, women, teenagers, and children in our day, right? What does she do with her extra time? She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She does more. She does more. Her lamp does not go out by night. She goes beyond the daylight, okay? Number eight, She uses her skills profitably. There's two words, I think, in that one. She uses her skills profitably. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. These are weaving terms, okay? She's spinning the wool, creating the cloth out of her raw materials, all right? She's developed skills. Where can she do these skills? At home, right? It gives her flexibility. She can do whenever she has time to do them. And she's producing things that of value in her own home, okay? So she uses her skills profitably. Okay, in the next page now. Her care. These are just quick now. She extends her hands to the poor, the needy, for the needy. She cares for the needy. Notice, if she's using her time wisely, she's leveraging her skills and abilities. She's being organized and self-disciplined. She has time to care for other people. Isn't that neat? How many people care for other people in our day? It's like, I didn't know that was my job. I'm busy. Well, number one, make sure you're busy at the right things. And number two, do them in the right way. She extends her hand to the poor. That seems to be money, the way the wording is. And then the second word for hand, she reaches out her hands to the needy. It actually is like helping. So it's monetary and manual labor or whatever. You know, the idea of here's a little extra to help you along. By the way, there's no Social Security, no food stamps, no any of that kind of stuff, which kind of muddies the water to me. I believe that people should work to eat and that they should rely upon the people, not the government, to supply their needs. She extends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. So she's helping the needy. She's caring for her family. She makes tapestry for herself. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. We hate snow, right? At least usually certain times of the year, at least the adults do that have to drive it and all that. We don't think about it much. It's just, it's a hassle. But what if you didn't have your car? What if you didn't have a snowblower and a snowplow and you had to make your own clothes? And your house wasn't heated by anything special, okay? You didn't have a furnace and all. She's ready, and the way they got ready back then, it was clothing. You put more layers on. She's done that already. She's already cared for her family in that way. They don't get snow often in Israel, but sometimes they do, and sometimes it's a huge amount of snow. It'll last for sometimes weeks, they said. She also cares, interestingly enough, for herself. She is not some kind of martyr in the sense that she doesn't care for herself. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Okay, so the woman is not some, what's the word I'm looking for? But she has a self-respect that she cares for her own self as well. I'll just leave it at that. Okay? Her effect. We're getting to the other things too. Sorry there's so many here, but I didn't write the Bible. I'm only teaching it. All right? Now, number one here, her effect, she enables her husband. This is huge. She enables her husband. In other words, she helps her husband to be, when I joined the army, it was be all you can be. Now it's the army of one or something like that. But to be all you can be. From the book of Genesis on, the woman was there to help the man. And I believe that the man doesn't do nearly as well if the woman isn't there to help him. It's not good for man to be what? Yeah, and sometimes we wonder if it's good if he's with anybody else, you know. He needs a lot of effort. It's not good for man to be alone, and that's what God said before there was any sin on the earth. He didn't design man to be alone. He designed man to need a woman to help him, to be able to accomplish what he needs. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, you might think, well, he's just sitting there. Well, listen, it's not discounting the fact that he has his own money-earning activities. He's able to go above and beyond that and actually serve to lead the land. The elders at the gate were it's like serving on the city council. They help people solve problems and make judgments on things and all that. He was free enough to be able to impact his community because of what his wife did. So it shows that he himself is able to go above and beyond. Okay? Number two here, she provides additional income. And I put in parentheses here, or preserves it. It's my persuasion that the man should be the wage earner and the woman should be in the home. You've heard me talk about that. I believe the Bible teaches nothing but that. Okay, you'll have to wrestle with that yourself between you and God. If you're of other persuasion, you'll have to reason your why there in the Scriptures. But her income is produced by, notice here, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Okay? She works extra. We talked about that in another point here. She goes over and above, so she has extra time, so she makes extra cloth and sashes their belts to be able to sell. And who does she sell to? She's selling to resellers. The word is Canaanites. They were the ones that did the selling. It's like selling to a wholesaler or someone that turned around. They buy them from you and then they go sell them to Walmart or whatever, okay? But she's able to do that on her flex time, the way she has it, as she ministers to the poor, the needy, her family, as she does other things without being mandated to be somewhere at 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever the case might be, okay? She's running the show at home and has the flexibility because of that. She's home-centered. Number three, she's known for her character. This is another effect. By the way, we mentioned preserves it. We talked about what's cheaper and more efficient. That's a part of what a woman is able to do if she's home-centered that way. She's known for her character. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. That is what she's known by. That's what people see. They don't see what she wears. They see what she is. And that's the difference in our day, in our culture, that people look at women, and I think women look at women, and they see what people wear, because they're so externally focused, rather than what they are. Okay? And the effect of her efforts distinguishes her. People don't see what she wears, they see what she is. And that's, again, we're describing a woman who fears the Lord. She doesn't care what other people see. She cares what she is before the Lord. Number four, she faces the future with confidence. The second part there, she shall rejoice in time to come. Why? Because she's done her work at home. She's done what she needs to for her family, for herself, for the needy. The future doesn't scare her. Okay? Number five, she impacts others with her speech. When you're not frantic, when you're well-prepared, when you have a plan and you work the plan, when you work cheaply and efficiently, I think it changes the way you talk. And also, if you fear the Lord, that makes a difference in how you talk. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So her effect, she influences people by the way she talks. Now, number six, I just have the word summary because to the best of my knowledge, this looks like it's kind of an overview statement. Another way to say all of what we've said is she watches over the ways of her household. She's aware and actively involved in what's going on at her home and does not eat the bread of idleness. A lot of people, they're not sure what that exactly means, but they know the intent. She's not doing lazy things. She's not wasting her time. She's not eating bread. She's not doing things that result in wasted time. Okay? So that seems to be a summary. She watches over the ways of her household and is actively involved in those and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's up and about doing things as God gives her life and breath. Her reward, five things here. Honor from her children. Her children rise up. You could translate this, stand up. When she walks in the room, they stand up. They rise up and call her blessed. Oh, here's my mom. You have to meet my mom. She's a wonderful mom. Okay? The impact of her life, her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, I've yet to really meet someone, I know there's some, that say bad things about their mom. Because you just don't do that. But this is earned blessing. Okay? Her children rise up and call her blessed because of what she has done, not just because she's the mom. Okay? Honor and praise from her husband are also one of the rewards. It says here, her husband also rises up and calls her blessed, okay, is the idea here. And he praises her. And this is what he says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all because of her efforts, because of her attitude. Number three, she receives praise from God. I believe this passage here, chapter 31, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I believe the implication here is of God. Okay? Again, our efforts are to be God-focused efforts in the sense that we are doing what we do because we desire to please God. She'll certainly get praise from her husband, from others, but God, certainly, He's the one that is describing what it means to be a godly woman, a one who fears the Lord. Number four, fruit from her efforts. You do things, you get results from what you do. It's interesting, but it says, give her the fruit of her hands. It could be the profit of her hands. It's the same word, I think, as what it was earlier. The profit's the fruit. Give her the fruit of her hands. She deserves what she gets, and that's a good thing. And then number five, praise for her efforts. Notice here that not only is she known by her character, but the last part, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It's not her looks. It's not her charm. What is she praised in the gates for? People will talk about her, about not how she looks, not her schmoozy personality, but what she what? Does. Her accomplishments, her works, okay? She will stand out simply because of what she does. She doesn't have to toot any horn because people will recognize what she does. A woman who fears the Lord. I believe Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 describe exactly what God is talking about. A woman who fears the Lord, it's a right focus on her husband, on the activities or efforts, home-centered, but also others-influencing type of thing. And God says she'll be praised by her kids, by her husband, by others around her. Mighty, mighty passage. Anyone here perfect yet? Anyone arrived? I thank the Lord for my wife. I think she fills this out well. She would never say she's arrived. That's probably because she's married to me. It's kind of hard to run when you're chained to an anchor. But ladies, we encourage you to pursue what God thinks is wonderful in His eyes, and we applaud you for doing so. Don't look at this as what, you know, the unreachable. This is you, okay? This is what God desires, and God, it's possible, and it's kind of the what we seek to describe as an attitude. And there's many lists for men as well. Maybe we'll do that in June. So let's pray here. Heavenly Father, thank you for the passages that help us. And in this way, it's kind of like a list, a description. And I thank you for the ladies that in many ways fulfill these passages. And I thank you for my own wife who seeks you and how she has blessed me these many years. Thank you on behalf of all the men here that are married for their wives and how you have met their need by bringing them someone to help them and enable them. And I pray that you would just encourage the wives not to look on the externals, but to look on the eternals. And I just thank you for the encouragement that this passage brings for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.